Movie, film, 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 film,
perfect episode. And no, I'm not kidding. You're listening to Movie. Film.
It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I'm Nate, and you wouldn't hit a guy with glasses on, would you? Huh?
And I'm Terrell. And pull the lever!
What's that from?
Crunk! Pull the lever!
Crunk?
Yeah.
What's Crunk?
That's, Emperor's...
Oh, it's from Emperor's New Groove. Okay, yeah. Okay. Crunk, yeah.
You wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, would you? And then he gets hit, right?
Yeah.
I can see it. I just cannot name it.
Na 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 na. Batman.
Batman?
Is Batman.
It's Batman? Oh.
1989 Batman. Because today we're covering the sequel, Batman Returns.
Oh, yeah.
For our first of four Christmas.
Is it four or is it five?
Movie. It's four.
Okay.
It's four.
We might be surprised. I don't know.
No, it's a four Friday
month. It's a four? Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, confirmed.
Confirmed.
Four. Yeah. This is the first one.
Yes.
But first, it's been like a week and a half since we recorded our last episode.
Yeah.
So what have you watched in that time?
A lot, but not up. A lot in like Nate terms.
You say in Nate terms?
Yeah, Nate terms.
Oh, compared to what usually watch.
Yeah, to what you watch.
Yeah, that's fine.
I had some more queer, kind of love romance things.
Yeah, I saw you continued from last week.
Yeah, I continued. And I watched Mysterious Skin. 2004 Joseph Gordon-Levitt Mysterious Skin. And I'm not going to say too much about it because I think you want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It has your interest. And I kind of spoiled it with my Letterboxd review. Sorry.
That's okay.
But I really enjoyed it. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is phenomenal in it. I don't think I've ever seen a bad Joseph performance, but I haven't seen a lot of Joseph performances, if that's right. But in this one, he's actually really, really good. And I think it's my favorite one that I've seen of him. And it's just this story about trauma. There are queer characters in it, but it's not just a queer story. It's just a story about trauma. And it was filthy and it was scary and it was beautiful. And I recommend watching it if you haven't seen it. It's been out for a while. And it is, I believe I watched it on Amazon, but I have a channel on Amazon. So you might have to do a free trial or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is what I did to watch it.
Mm. But I guess it's worth it.
Yeah, it was worth it. Yeah.
Since you're some of the stuff you watched fit a theme, you want to just keep going?
Because
I'm looking at what I watched. I was fortunate to be with family this holiday, so I watched a lot of feel good stuff.
Okay,
I don't want to break up the.
No, it's okay. Talk about romance. Whatever you want to speak about, I want to hear it.
All right. Well, I guess a lot of the stuff I watched with them was stuff I've rewatched that. We've already talked about on the podcast, but I will just say yet again, the 40-year-old version on Netflix, if you haven't watched it, watch it. It's even better the second time. What a great movie.
Yeah. You watch it with your family, right?
Yeah, I was really excited to show them that movie. Yeah, everyone liked it.
Nice, awesome. I told my mom to watch it. I haven't gotten her review yet, but my mom watches movies in parts. So she said what she saw she liked. So I need to get back to her about that.
Mm. Yeah, it was nice to watch that, like, I don't know, because a lot of it is her relationship with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice. A lot of the most emotional moments deal with mother relationships with mothers that have passed. So it was nice to watch it with my mother, who is with me.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I don't know. It's a very funny movie, but the emotions got to me. They hit even harder the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And then even the, well, I guess I shouldn't talk about the end because it's still new. but it's a good one.
Yeah. Let's see. I watched, I don't know which one I want to talk about because I liked them all so much. I watched this movie called And Then We Danced. It is a foreign movie. I don't know exactly where,
but it's not America.
But it's not American. And it's like this really beautiful coming of age story about this Hungarian dancer who has to be very like macho and solid, and he's not that at all. And it's about him like discovering his identity as a queer man in a society that it is just not acceptable at all. And he can't do the dance if he is a gay man. And he also has this relationship that's starting to bud and bloom, but like with most queer cinema or just like gay movies or film or whatever, like there's always just like this societal aspect to it, to where like society is always the, you know, the wall in between the characters, you mm-hmm. know, that won't let them be. And so it also deals with that a little bit, but it ends more on a hopeful note, kind of like happy endings, where you go through like this joy and you go through this sadness, and then you're kind of just like, okay, the character we started with is going to be okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice, and unfortunately rare in a lot of queer stories.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Though, I guess I'll jump right to it.
Mm-hmm.
A movie that apparently, a queer story that apparently has a happy ending.
Yeah.
But I don't really feel that way based on the rest of the story. And I think you know what I'm about to say because watched it too.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Happiest Season to kick off a month of Christmas movies. This is the new Hulu movie, lesbian rom-com.
Mm-hmm. Directed by Clea DuVall,
written and directed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's her first.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Certainly her most popular.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about a woman played by Kristen Stewart who, well, have you seen Get Out? It's kind of like that.
Kind of.
But Christmas.
Yeah. And she should have got out.
Oh, I mean, the Dan Levy character was pretty much the Lil Rel, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was one of the highlights.
Yeah, definitely.
really good supporting cast. I mean, my favorites being the Dan Levy character and the Aubrey Plaza character, who I think I liked most because they existed outside the really horrible, oppressive bubble of the
family.
Harper's family.
Yeah.
Harper, one of the worst, like, most detestable rom-com leads in a long time.
Yeah.
That you're supposed to still root for, I guess, but I was actively rooting against her happiness.
Yeah. I
wanted her to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, we're spoiling it, but it's a rom-com, and if you watch the trailer, like, you know exactly what's going to happen by the end and how everything gets resolved nicely. So, yes. Sorry. But still watch it, and you might enjoy it. I liked it. I have a lot of complaints, though.
Mm-hmm.
Made me feel a lot.
I'm glad you feel the way that you feel about it, because when I was watching it, I was just like, I like this, but like, it bothered me.
It bothered me so much.
It bothered me a lot.
But it made me feel very strongly. And mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's a stupid rom-com, and it has all the same problems that stupid straight rom-coms have,
yeah.
Except for the fact that there exists more than one gay character.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a lot of the movie is about them hiding who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. Kristen Stewart's really good in it.
Yeah, she is really good.
And really makes me feel a lot of the pain that her character goes through, which kind of makes it sting even more when she forgives Harper right away.
Yeah. Yeah, Harper is really just, she's not likable. She doesn't do anything to make you like her.
I don't think Mackenzie Davis's performance is bad, I want to say. I know I like Kristen Stewart, but I guess that's the character you more root for.
It's more she's good, the story, but it's the writing. Yeah. It's the character itself that mm-hmm. is the problem. Like she's her family is like egregious, and then she is also turns out to be egregious.
Yeah.
But, you know, like most rom-coms, within like the last 10 minutes, there's that flip that happens mm-hmm. where the character, you know, shouts, I love you or whatever. Right. And then everything is forgiven.
Right. Just give me a second chance. Okay.
Yeah. Just give me a second chance. Yeah. I'm okay with Riley and, what's her name? Abby?
Yeah.
Not being together just because
I liked their chemistry.
Their chemistry, but I also appreciated that she wasn't presented as an alternative.
Right.
Like a romantic alternative. And then like Riley would be left high and dry at the end because that would have been really
Well, there's upsetting. A moment where Harper was jealous.
Yeah, there's a moment. But Harper was just bugging the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
She's bugging.
Abigail was madly in love with her, inexplicably. The movie makes no effort to really show you why Abigail feels so strongly about Harper.
Yeah.
Other than just telling us that she loves her and wants to propose.
Yeah.
I will say, and like it's weird to root against a happy ending in a queer story,
mm-hmm.
but it was frustrating. And like, some stuff with the writing I found lazy or underdeveloped. But then, like, weirdly, little things I was, like, very impressed by. Maybe not impressed. Satisfied with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very tidy, thematical work with, like, the climax of the movie. The painting is smashed over. The head ruined. Yeah. I mean, that really, like, ties everything together with their whole family wanting to just be this perfect picture.
Yeah.
But now she's going to come out and... Or actually, she's outed.
She's outed.
Which is... problematic, and then outed, and then when she does finally come out, completely hijacked by her sister.
Yeah,
her sister's confession.
She's hijacked, but I think her sister was also trying to show support after after outing her. She was trying to be like, "Well, this is my truth."
Yeah, and then but it's Jane not equivalent. Like,
yeah, it's not, but that what that moment was supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Some. Nice stuff in there.
Some nice stuff, but yeah, you have to...
I might rewatch it in a couple of Christmases.
Mm-hmm. You're still not going to like Harper.
No.
Yeah. No.
What else you got?
Let's see. I watched...
Drum roll,
yeah. I mean, we could just get into it. We watched Batman.
Batman,
1989, and it was my first time watching it.
Really? Yes. That's why. Okay, because you had some reactions where I was like, "Has it just been a really long time?"
No, I've never seen it.
You've seen Batman Returns,
and I love Batman Returns.
And you love Joker as a character.
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing, why I didn't.
All right, tell me what you think about it.
I thought it was amazing. I was just like, wow, I was amazed by it. And then I was mad at myself for like waiting so long to watch it. Mm. Because Jack Nicholson is a great Joker. And I can understand why when Heath Ledger came on, everybody was like, he's the greatest Joker.
Right.
There was an older crowd that were like, no, Jack Nicholson. And so I didn't understand it because I only saw Heath Ledger. And Heath Ledger was phenomenal. But like Jack Nicholson is also really good.
Yeah, but you know what's weird? I mean, that's a great character and there's a long history of actors knocking that performance out of the park.
Yeah.
When you think about it now, technically Jack Nicholson is like a bottom tier cinematic Joker.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not Jared Leto, but Heath and Joaquin
are like top tier. That's top tier. Yeah.
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 But this is so different. He's so campy and yeah. To me, he's more like the comic book. He's got goons and, mm-hmm. and wisecracks.
Yeah. And yeah, I just loved Gotham. Like what mm-hmm. Tim Burton did with Batman, with the two Batmans that he did, and just he created this world, and he just was like. He didn't want to set it in reality, and I really appreciate that. I really appreciate the campiness of it, the willingness to be like, this is a comic book movie, and to just, you know, watch that first Batman and really just, like, be enveloped by that world and just, like, the scenery, the set pieces. I was just like, wow, this is really great. This is really great. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really... my favorite thing about that movie is... the sound.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has Danny Elfman's best score. Just mm-hmm. those horns and the... Oh, just so exciting and so much personality, especially for a superhero movie, which is... they all kind of sound the same these days, except mm-hmm. for, like, Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
But also Prince. Original music from Prince throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
So
I might have an unpopular opinion about this, but I did not dig the Prince music.
It's weird.
It's a little off-putting only because it's Prince's music. And
it's Prince.
It's Prince.
It's not Batman.
And it's not Batman. But also, I understand Prince being like, okay, I'll make music for your little film mm-hmm. or whatever. And you being like, yeah, great. Prince is going to make music for my movie, I'm gonna have Prince do the music.
Yeah.
So, like, I get it, but also, like, it threw me off just a little bit.
Yeah, he didn't, it's the least Tim Burton-y thing about it.
Yes.
Even though that, like, Prince is camp and Tim Burton, does some stuff with camp,
mm-hmm.
but it's not really
the same.
Super compatible.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if Jack Nicholson, because he dances to Prince in a lot of his scenes. Like, he has the henchman with the ghetto blaster just playing Prince.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that
Prince was playing.
He was dancing to that music yeah. when they shot it.
Yeah.
Which does take some stuff away. But still, it's crazy that yeah. it's a movie that has original music from Prince, and it's
Jack
Batman.
Nicholson is not as great as a dancer as Heath Ledger or Joaquin Phoenix.
No.
No.
Does Jared Leto dance in Suicide Squad? I still haven't seen it.
No, he doesn't.
He's probably a good dancer, too.
Maybe.
So we were doing we watched the Keaton Batman movies, so I checked. I revisited Birdman, or mm-hmm. The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, the 2014 meta movie mm-hmm. about, you know, he plays a washed-up former superhero.
Yeah.
Trying to star in, write and direct a play on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that movie. I know it's got a lot of backlash after winning Best Picture. And that was a fucked up year for the Oscars, especially because Eddie Redmayne won.
Yeah, for Danish Girl?
Yeah. No. Theory of Everything.
Okay.
Stephen Hawking. And all the best performances of that year weren't even nominated, like Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler, Ralph Fiennes in Grand Budapest Hotel,
mm-hmm.
David Oyelowo, Selma, nothing.
Yeah,
no respect. I remember Joaquin that. In Inherent Vice. Does anyone remember Foxcatcher? Why is that a nominated performance?
I thought Steve Carell was good in that.
Yeah, but not better than the people I just named.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not better than them. But Birdman, I think of the people that actually were nominated, Michael Keaton definitely should have won that award.
I think he was like, he had a really good chance.
Yeah.
That year. He had like won the Golden Globe, I think, that year. Like he was definitely a contender.
I wonder if he was nominated for comedy.
Probably.
Yeah.
And I think he won for that. And so it was just like, yeah, Michael Keaton has a real shot. And then there was that upset.
Yeah. Birdman's wild, though. And I finally understand the thing about the jellyfish. I didn't... Admittedly, that kind of went over my head the other times I've seen it. I just thought, oh, it looks cool, and it's like Tree of Life.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells this whole story about how he tried committing suicide, but was saved by a bunch of jellyfish who, like, shocked him back to life. Mm-hmm. And then one of the final shots is a bunch of dead jellyfish on the beach. And, you know, he's dead.
Yeah.
I didn't get that the first time.
And he's dead? Okay.
And it's like, those are the creative juices that are gone, and maybe the whole thing was a dream?
Okay.
Not into the whole maybe the whole thing was a dream movies, and that doesn't add much to it for me, but, you know, it's all a piece of art that is just in conversation about artistic integrity and audiences and the art business and truth and a lot of sexual politics. I don't think it would have won Best Picture if it came out in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Good amount of rape in that movie.
Oh, yeah, on the stage, right?
Yeah.
That stage scene, yeah. It was like, make it real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you, did you like the ending?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I liked it better in Poison now that I've seen Poison.
Oh, but... yeah. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I have. All right. Really.
So I'll just throw in, today I checked out Nightmare Before Christmas for the first time.
Ooh, that's another one I haven't seen.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it before either. Tim Burton wrote it, didn't direct it, but it's still just like super Tim Burton-y. And it's weird, he didn't write either of the Batman movies, but those have his, look and feel definitely.
He's so heavy visually, it. Yeah.
Yeah, but even in the, just having only written Nightmare Before Christmas, he just has such a brand and such a style.
Mm-hmm.
Brand isn't a great word. Well, I say brand because my main association with Nightmare Before Christmas is Hot Topic merchandise.
Yeah.
And that's probably a big reason why I've avoided it. Also, I'm Jewish, so I don't know. Didn't Christmas, really care. Yeah. But yeah, it's fun. And it's short. It's under 90 minutes.
Mm.
And I had no idea it was a musical. And Danny Elfman plays like the sing when Jack Skellington, who's the main character, sings. It's Danny Elfman,
mm-hmm.
the composer, and I had no idea he sang, and he's really good.
Hmm.
And I love stop motion, and I think all Christmas animation should be stop motion.
And claymation.
Yeah. Well, same.
Oh thing. Yeah. You're right.
Clay is just the material.
Nice. I'm gonna have to check that out this season.
It's on Disney Plus.
It's on Disney Plus? Okay, cool. We do got that.
And if you use the code MOVIEFILMPOD at checkout, it'll say, I'm sorry, this is not a valid code. Sponsor us, Disney.
Sponsor
we'll become
us.
An exclusively Disney podcast. We don't
sure.
care.
We'll clean it up.
All right, well, let's get to fucking Batman Returns.
Yes!
Let's play the trailer.
It's time for me to ascend.
From the sewers of Gotham, a new villain emerges.
You didn't invite me, so I crashed!
From the rooftops of Gotham, the perfect enemy comes to life. And the only one who can save this city is a creature of the night.
Hey, Stud. I thought we had something together.
We do.
While she craves a romance she can sink her claws into.
You're catnip to a girl like me.
He plots a foul reign of destruction.
My dear penguins, thanks to Batman, the time has come to punish all of them!
Ha ha ha.
Gotham looms its greatest hero.
Batman Returns is a 1992 American superhero flick directed by Tim Burton, based on the DC Comics character, Batman.
Yeah.
It's a sequel to Batman. Stars Michael Keaton as Batman.
Mm-hmm. Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
Christopher Walken as Max Shrek.
Not that Shrek.
Not that Shrek.
The second best Shrek in cinema. Max Shrek. Every time he said Shrek, they say it a lot.
Yeah.
I still picture the ogre.
It's anonymous. This is maybe I want to say my favorite superhero movie.
Wow.
Yeah. I just have just like fond memories with this.
That's crazy that you haven't seen the first one.
I know, right? I just saw this one and I was like, this is enough. I'm just going to watch this one over and over and over again.
It is better.
It is better.
It is much better.
And like...
And weirdly has more clowns than the one with Joker.
Yeah, it does.
That's odd.
Yeah, it's more circus.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is just like, when I was growing up in like the early 90s... Camp was like really big in like the 80s and moving into the 90s. So I grew up with a lot of camp influence. I grew up watching Pee-wee Playhouse. You know, I grew up.
He's in this.
Yeah, he's in this. So I grew up with an appreciation for it. And it gives you that. It doesn't shy away from it. You know what I mean? The characterization of Batman, of Catwoman, of Penguin is like so phenomenal. Like they just go so big. It's so entertaining to watch them be these characters and not even like a comic book version of these characters, but like original versions of these characters. Mm. And just like the writing, the zingers, you know what I mean? Like people make
so many, but not too many.
Yeah. People make fun of the writing style of this now, like, especially like, I would say the way that Catwoman talks, where it's real like feisty and one liner.
Oh, I love it.
But yeah, it's just performed so well.
Yeah.
Like she performs it so well. And like Tim Burton, I didn't really care for this as a kid because I was a kid, just like, ooh, Batman, this is amazing. But watching it now, I'm just like, ooh, like he has so many great framed shots, just like of like that first shot of Batman when he's sitting and then the light shines on him and then you get like the bat signal. Oh, it's such a good heroic shot. Or like when we first see like actually it's the second time when we see Catwoman in action and she slides on the glass and it's like her face inside the Catwoman
sign. Yeah.
Yes.
Also that birdcage shot with her and Penguin.
The birdcage shot is so good. It's so good.
The, just anytime Penguin like rises, which happens many times in this movie.
Yeah.
He ascends.
Yes. He ascends a lot.
So dramatic. And it's a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie. And I love that it's like snowing throughout this whole picture. Yeah. It's just constantly snowing.
It's a very... I mean, Tim Burton does a lot of Christmas. Like Edward Scissorhands, the aforementioned Nightmare Before. This. There's probably another.
Yeah, there's probably another.
So he likes taking that idyllic holiday and then like twisting it.
Yeah.
And it works really well with... It's like the mixture of Christmas and Batman and Burton.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's really fun.
It's really, really,
this
really
is
fun.
It's definitely the first Batman movie I'd ever seen.
Yes.
And I think this is when I fell in love with Danny DeVito. He's just amazing and so much fun and just goes for it. And he's like Burton lets him go for it.
Yeah.
He just does these just throughout the whole movie just
Gucci, Gucci, cool.
He just becomes Penguin.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about, I mean, just such a delight to watch in 2020 to go back and see this superhero movie with so many great creative visual effects and mm-hmm. costumes and makeups. It's not they're not CGI-ing makeup onto the actors like in Avengers.
Nothing
like
looks Vision bad.
Or whatever. It's not motion capture. It's crafts. It's
practical.
Crafted art.
It's built.
And the pyrotechnics and just... it's
the stunts.
And that pairs well with the campiness of it because it's just this big production. It's a show. They're putting on a show. It's Batman.
Yes. Awesome.
Another amazing. Wild thing about this Batman movie is Batman's not the main character.
This is funny. Batman's like never the main character and he's always not the maybe in like Christopher Nolan's, but like he's always like not the coolest character on screen.
Oh, because he has great villains.
He has such great villains that they just steal the show every time.
Mm-hmm.
In every movie.
But in this one in particular, Batman, I actually looked it up, he's in like 31 minutes mm-hmm. of the screen time.
Yeah.
It's the least of any Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
It has the least Batman.
Yeah. And like, it's not bothersome at all, because you're just being treated to like these other performances.
Yeah, I love it. There's scenes, I mean, we'll get into it, scenes with Batman and Catwoman where they meet up and then Batman leaves and we stay with Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's the Selina Kyle, the Oswald Cobblepot movie.
Yeah, it is.
What a wild combination to put those two characters together, but it works.
You get a bat, you get a cat, and you get a penguin.
Yeah.
Yeah, three animals.
And Shrek. All right, well, let's start.
Yes.
We start with an appearance from Paul Reubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman.
Yes.
Playing Tucker Cobblepot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a wife, Esther, and they're
giving
wealthy
birth.
Gotham City socialites.
Oh, yeah. They're rich. They're wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving birth. Well, she is giving mm-hmm. birth. And something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong because there's a scream. Mm-hmm. And we cut to the next scene where they're both looking out the window this time.
Mm-hmm.
And they look back at their child. Now, we don't see their child. Their child is in a cage.
Yes.
In a black box.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone lets you know that something is wrong with this. And there's a cat, and he takes the cat, and he pulls the cat into the cage, and I guess eats the cat.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Killing pets right away. And also the introduction of cats into the movie before mm-hmm. we even meet Selina Kyle.
Yeah. And they are disgusted.
Yeah, so they take the baby to the park at night, and it's Christmas time.
Yeah, snowing.
We hear the children's choir in the score, like very Tim Burton-y,
mm-hmm.
like la la. It's like creepy, but Christmas.
Yeah,
and they're saying Merry Christmas to the passersby, and they're dumping that baby in the lake, in the sewer, actually.
Very brutal. It's the dead of winter, and mm-hmm. they're dumping this baby in water.
Yeah.
Yeah, no regard.
Then we get our opening credits as bats fly out of the sewer and the baby floats down, very Moses in the Nile.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting to me, and I didn't notice it until revisiting this time. It's a Christmas movie, but a lot of the lore more closely traces the Passover story of the Old Testament than the birth of Christ in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Just with baby being left in a basket down the water, and then also the slaying of the firstborn sons.
Yeah, that was something I noticed too. I was just like, oh, like this is his plan is very like old school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't even like make a comparison to like his crib floating down the sewer like Moses, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in our like 2 minute opening credit sequence, I did note that they credit a man named Sam Winston just for the special penguin makeup and effects.
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine a modern superhero movie taking time in the beginning of the movie to credit on screen the people working to actually make it look the way it looks?
Yeah.
I guess Guardians of the Galaxy kind of had the opening credit sequence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they went so deep as to say this is who did the effects.
Right.
But
it's really important.
I don't know. Bring back opening credits. Yeah. I like reading names before a movie so I don't have to be distracted later where I'm like, who's that person?
Right.
So the baby gets to the end of the sewer.
Yeah.
I guess. The water stops and he's discovered by penguins.
Yeah.
They're under the zoo.
They're really big penguins too.
And there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
But they're taking him in.
Mm-hmm.
And then 33 years pass.
Yeah.
And it's still Christmas.
And now it's the Gotham tree lighting ceremony
mm-hmm.
that we are privy to see.
We hear some newsboys shouting headlines about there being a penguin spotting.
Yeah, man or myth.
Yeah.
And we actually get like a POV shot of a penguin down mm-hmm. in the sewer watching. Yeah, watching as people are hustling and bustling and, you know, they're about to light the tree. We see Alfred walking past the man shouting about the man or myth, the penguin man.
Calls the news rubbish.
Yeah.
And a foolish diversion.
Yeah. But as he's walking.
A lot of hate for the press in the Batman movies.
Oh, yeah.
And in the first one, too. Yeah. Movies in general.
Superman?
I guess Superman has a different relationship because yeah. he's an actual reporter. But like Spider-Man, Batman,
yeah,
those are the two I was thinking of.
Yeah, most superheroes don't like press, and especially in Spider-Man, the press doesn't like Spider-Man. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a real different relationship. As Alfred is crossing the street. He looks down at the sewer because he notices something.
Yeah.
But the penguin steps away and disappears. He's not there.
And we meet Shrek. I'm mm-hmm. just calling him Shrek. His name's Max Shrek.
Shrek.
There's a C in there, but I just spelled it S-H-E-R-K. Or S-H-R-E-K, because that's how you spell Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a meeting with the mayor.
Yeah.
A little nighttime meeting.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a plan to build a power plant.
Yeah, he's a power man.
Mayor's not so happy about it, though.
No.
And we meet. Well, we don't really even meet her here, but she's in the scene.
Yeah.
We see Selina Kyle.
Yeah.
Very mousy.
Very small.
Trying not to take up any space.
Yeah. And in doing so, makes herself very noticeable. Well, at least to Shrek.
She tries to speak up.
Yeah.
In the meeting, she's...
she has an idea.
Stuttering and stammering. She says, I think I have a question, or actually more of a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
But Shrek completely turns her down. He says, oh, she hasn't been housebroken yet.
Yeah.
So disrespectful.
Right. Disregards her. Says she just makes great mm-hmm. tea or whatever.
And then in this scene, we also meet Shrek's son, Chip Shrek. Who mm-hmm. I don't know who plays him, but he's just doing a Christopher Walken impression.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's just like a young beefy version.
Yeah, of Christopher.
Still doing the voice. I can't do impressions. Yeah. Christopher Walken.
Kinda.
I can do penguin impressions. they leave the meeting and Selena's left alone.
Yeah.
Berating herself. Calling herself a corn dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Max doesn't have a candidate because the meeting with the mayor didn't go well. So mm-hmm. he needs a material candidate. Selena is running over everything that she had to do and realizes that she forgot to pack Shrek's speech for
yep.
tonight.
Yep. So he's walking up to the stage, and I just noted he has very strong Scrooge vibes, just in the white hair and the top hat.
Yeah.
The Christmas time. The old white millionaire in Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I think Scrooge. I'm a simple man. Though he is introduced on the stage as Gotham's own Santa Claus.
Yeah. No Santa. I'm just a slob who got lucky.
Yeah, he doesn't have a speech, so he has to ad-lib.
And he has to ad-lib.
Ends up saying...
world peace.
Instead of giving these baubles, I wish I could provide you world peace and unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. And Penguin is down in the sewer watching, mm-hmm. and he's just like, you can. And he's looking at his... he has like a timer,
mm-hmm.
so he has something in store, something he's plotting.
Yeah, and this giant gift appears.
Yeah.
Out pops members of the Red Triangle Gang, which will, from now on, just be referred to as clowns.
The clown posse.
Circus gang clowns. Yes.
And chaos is unleashed on the town.
Yeah, I love them. They ride in on motorcycles, like popping out of places.
I like those helmets. Those like giant skull helmets.
Yeah, giant skulls, which I noticed just super. I mean, I just watched Nightmare Before Christmas. He loves combining like the morbid imagery of Halloween with Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get a lot of skulls in Christmas, but they're barging in.
Yeah.
And then we get that bat signal sequence.
Yeah, the sequence we were just talking about earlier. So yeah, the signal goes up and it lights up his house because he has like a reflective mirror or something. And he's like sitting there thinking, just contemplating, just being real like dark and moody and brooding. And then he gets lit up.
Yep.
And it's like this undershot of him like looking, and then the bat signal is behind him and it's time for him to like get, you know, get in suit.
Yeah, that thing with the camera being like much lower than the actor. That's like that real, you get a real heroic feeling from that angle. Like you're looking up at the character.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets in that Batmobile, which is my favorite Batmobile. It's just like the classic one.
It's classic, yeah.
And I love just all the gadgets it has. They're much more wacky than tactical, though. They are used tactically, like the sticks that come out to trip the clowns that are on stilts.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a trope I love. I forget which movie. Sandlot had the clown in stilts to get knocked down. Love it. Mm-hmm. Love it when that happens in movies. Very 90s.
Mm-hmm. It's, when I was watching this, I was just like, yo, the Batmobile can do anything.
Anything that, the screenplay needs.
Anything the screenplay needs. It can trip up the clowns. It can turn itself around with that thing underneath. It can get skinny.
It turns itself around so that he positions it exactly to then shoot the fire out the back to set, like a guy in a devil costume on fire. Which is more like, this isn't Christmas Village, it's hell.
Yeah, which is just like, I'm just like, Batman definitely burned a guy alive.
Yeah, Batman like, kills people in this movie. That's the thing. Sure.
Like, Batman is supposed to like injure people, hurt people, but he's not.
They make a big deal in the first one about how he doesn't kill people. Yeah,
but he definitely burned the devil.
There's murder in this one for sure.
Definitely. So the clowns are trying to kidnap Max. But Shrek's son buys him some time by stepping in front of the clowns.
Yeah.
And so Shrek is able to like get away and wander away.
Mm-hmm. The one of the clown does attack Selina, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a taser, but Batman saves her.
Yeah.
He does the thing where he shoots the claw out. And you think it's going to hit the guy in the face, but it gets the wall instead. And the guy's like, ah, you missed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that was Penguin. He's like, hi, you missed. But then he knocks the concrete out of the wall to hit the clown and not Selina. So, so she's saved.
She's saved. And this she tries
picking him up.
Yeah, like, hi, the Batman or just Batman or whatever. Your choice. As he's like walking away. And then she's talking to herself.
Yeah, and then we're left. That's one of those moments they interact, and you're left with Selina after the interaction.
Yeah.
Her talking to herself. And her first line is like, that was very brief, like all my interactions with men.
Yeah.
And the Batman stuff is kept brief in this Batman movie.
Yeah.
She steals her attacker's taser, though.
Yeah.
This is like our first. I love Catwoman. I don't love that, like, it's all like. She becomes Catwoman because of trauma. This and the later trauma she experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a classic thing in a screenplay. Have a character experience trauma, and that's the big thing that makes them change. But after attack, she gets the taser, and
that's how
it's a little darker.
How it relates to like Batman himself.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, very comic booky.
Mm-hmm.
Shrek is finally taken, though.
Yeah, he falls down a trapdoor.
Trapdoor down into the sewer.
He like escapes, he gets away, and then he takes a breath, and then he just falls.
Mm-hmm. This is where he's meeting the Penguin.
Yeah, and this is where we get to see the Penguin for the first time.
Yeah, and he has this speech about both him and Shrek are monsters, but Shrek's a well-respected monster, and he's not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got a plan. He's going places.
And just let's talk about the Penguin for a second because, that face. And just like Tim Burton, just he loves pale, mm-hmm. like pale skin, dark yeah. eyes. And so he really got to play with that with the Penguin.
Yeah,
and
it was kind of Uncle Fester-y.
Kind of
Uncle Fester-y. I mean, Tim Burton definitely heavily influenced by the Charles Adams
mm-hmm.
style.
Mm-hmm.
Penguin is just like, you take Danny DeVito and it's just more.
It's more.
It's just more Danny DeVito. Like, we watched, you have the Blu-ray, so we watched some of the special features about how they did his costume. It was really interesting. The mask, like, they really built it off of his face.
Yes.
Just trying to distort it and, like, extend it.
Mm-hmm.
The nose sticks out and the like, he's so round.
Yeah.
And really nasty, but he also has, like, the fish fins. Like, that's part of his deformities.
Yeah. And just like that onesie that they have him in, that filthy onesie.
It's so nasty. Yeah.
Yeah, his hair is just like tangled and like mm-hmm. wet and just like really gross. And he just has like, every time he speaks, his mouth is black. He has bile coming yeah. out of his mouth, spitting out of his mouth when he talks.
Apparently made from mouthwash and food dye.
Yes. We know the secrets.
Yeah. And he's got, like, several lines that really highlight, like, his whole deal. Like, what you put in the toilet, I put on my mantle.
Mm-hmm.
You flush it, I flaunt it.
Yes.
He's the outcast, the reject that now he values all the stuff other people will throw away.
Yeah.
Which helps because it gives him the materials to blackmail Max Schreck.
Yeah.
First, revealing that he knows about Shrek's toxic waste that he dumps.
Mm-hmm.
The public doesn't know about that. But Shrek blows it off. It's like, you can't prove that. But guess what? The Penguin's got the documents. He argoed those shredded documents, put them back together.
With all the time in the world, mm-hmm. he taped it back together.
Also, you know that one employee you have that you haven't seen in a while?
Yeah, the one that's on vacation?
Well, here's his severed hand. We love our severed hands on this podcast with
yes.
Idle Hands and mm-hmm. Adam's Family.
Wow, there's another one. Mm-hmm. Another severed hand.
Add it to the list.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's going to blackmail. Wait,
was there a severed hand in Vampire in Brooklyn too? Did I make that up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
So yeah, he's going to blackmail Shrek. Shrek comes around when
his goal?
Yeah, he comes around when he introduces the dead body part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Penguin wants to
reemerge.
Return to the surface. He wants to ascend.
Yeah.
And find his humanity and his parents.
And his parents.
He's pretty convincing. Sympathetic at this point.
Yeah.
Just talking about how he's been thrown away and he's a person too and...
Yeah, he sounds very human.
Wants what everyone else has.
Mm-hmm.
Respect.
And so it seems like a marriage made in hell.
Mm-hmm.
A partnership that is going to happen now.
Yeah.
So we cut from that and we get to see Selena's home life.
Yeah, she returns home. Her house is so pink. I love it.
It's pink and it's cute and it's girly.
She's got a great sense of style,
yeah.
even though she's very self-deprecating, still mm-hmm. talking to herself.
Yeah, honey, I'm home. Oh, wait, I forgot. I'm not married.
Yeah.
And she's a cat lady.
Got lots of cats.
Cats that just wander in her house and mm-hmm. she feeds them. Yeah.
Yeah, gives them some milk.
Mm-hmm.
She's got this cool neon sign that says, hello there.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Love it.
And then she's got an answering machine because it's the 90s. So she plays the tape. She's broken up with. Via answering machine.
Yeah.
I love her responses. I guess I should have let him win that last racquetball game.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the feminist commentary in this movie. Just Selena Kyle before being Catwoman she's always had great power, but she is a woman in the corporate world.
Yes.
And she has to minimize herself
mm-hmm.
Try to make men feel good about themselves in order to be successful.
Yeah.
Or so she thinks. The messages end with a reminder from herself.
Yeah.
That she's got to go back to the office. I like how she anticipated forgetting.
Yeah, she's like, oh, god damn it.
Got to go back to the office because Shrek's got a meeting with Bruce Wayne tomorrow. Gotta set up, get him prepared.
Mm-hmm. So in the next scene, she is at the office. She's looking through the files and walking up behind her is Shrek. Who surprises her.
Yeah, and she's not... she's thrown off because apparently the documents she saw prove that Shrek's power plant isn't actually going to generate power. It's going to drain power.
Yeah.
Real evil genius, evil millionaire stuff. Mm-hmm.
Not very wise of her to reveal that she was able to get into the protected files, and she guessed his password was Geraldo is dead Chihuahua.
Yeah. And Shrek's a rich, powerful man, and...
he's intimidating. He's
already been blackmailed once today.
Yeah.
So he's not going to let someone else blackmail, so... Right. He essentially says, I'm going to kill you and no one's going to come after me.
Right? And then he goes, huh? Huh? Yeah. Like he's just like joking. And she's like, whoo, you scared me. And then he goes to like turn around, but then he pushes her out the window. Out. Yeah, the fake out.
The shot of her falling out of the building and like her head hitting, like she goes through like awnings, an awning with like the cat logo on it.
Yeah.
But like the camera's on her falling, and then very quickly, as she's ripping through the awning, like it cuts to then the camera behind her head very quickly to get like the impact. I don't know, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Like I really felt it in that fall. I liked the way it was filmed, and she lands with a thud on the snow covered ground.
And so Selena seems like she is dead.
But then a shitload of cats come.
Yeah. And pretty much they just breathe new life into her. They
start sniffing and licking and biting her.
Yeah. This scene, I felt like, is probably one of the better things about the Halle Berry Catwoman. Is, like, this scene is done in that, but it's done, I won't say better, but more, like, more visually, like, I want to say pleasing almost, because it shows you that, you know, a cat that when Halle Berry's Catwoman died, when she died, the cat goes on her and then breathes into her.
Yeah.
And you get that animation. But in this one, you just see the cat kind of like dig in her mouth.
And like one's eating her
finger. Yeah, one's eating her finger. But yeah, that is essentially what happens. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah, but so yeah, she survived. She gets home, and she seems like pretty brain damaged. At this point,
she's repeating herself, like, honey, she's, I'm home.
Yeah, going through her coming home routine, but this time she, like, drops the lamp and she's pouring milk for the cats and she just spills it. And then she just starts chugging the milk.
And she looked very Tim Burton. Very, just like, very, like, boned out and pale.
Dripping
and
mascara. And
yeah,
some blood.
And, like, frizzy hair.
Lines under her
eyes. She looks like a walking skeleton.
Yeah. So she's chugging the milk. She plays the answering machine again, and it's an ad for the Gotham Lady perfume at Shrek's department store. So then she throws the milk at the answering machine.
Yeah, and just starts screaming and freaking
out. Fucks up her apartment.
Everything has to go. Everything cute has to go. All this stuff.
Frying
animals.
Pan to the wall.
She gets black spray paint and starts spraying everything black.
Smashes parts of the light. We don't see what parts yet, but some destruction. Then she finds a... like, I guess, from her closet, she had a leather onesie already.
Yeah.
So there's already some naughtiness going on.
Some naughtiness.
But she's going to sit down at the sewing machine and...
She just has this urge, this need to, like, transform. And so she's a seamstress, and she gets to work cutting it up, stitching it back together. Yeah, she already has the claws. She just puts them on her fingers.
Then we get that shot outside her apartment.
Great
shot.
Her
through the window. And the lights now, they once said hello there, but she smashed the O and the T, so it says hell here.
Yeah.
And then Catwoman comes into frame, meow.
Meow. I don't know about you cats, but I'm feeling so much yummier.
Yeah.
It's so good. And she's like, she has an audience of cats, and she is transformed into Catwoman.
So now, comes time for the Penguin's big emergence.
Yeah, his big
back
plan.
Back into Gotham with a Reichstag fire, which is when people set up the calamity and then save it.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a German tactic.
Oh, okay.
Used to gain control. So he's gonna kidnap the mayor's baby, but then save the day. Mm-hmm. Save the day.
Yeah.
Because Gotham doesn't know that he's connected to the circus gang clowns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, the guy, the clown takes the baby, then jumps down into the sewer.
Yeah.
And then you just hear, like, oh no, it's that penguin guy.
I don't want any trouble. Just take the baby.
And then he ascends up through the...
He rises.
Yeah. Just lots of fog and...
Yeah.
It's,
and he's a hero.
It's great.
He returns, he gives the baby back, and the press is just flashing away. I love that he's just like...
He's camera shy.
The lights. Flashing lights. What is this?
Yeah, it's probably so dark underground. He's not used to all the flashing.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Wayne is at home watching the news coverage about the event on a very 90s... blocky TV.
Yeah, very small
that's
TV.
That's next to a giant fireplace.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Giant
the
fireplace.
The giant fireplace and the tiny TV.
I mean, fire is amazing to look at. I would just, if I had a fireplace that big, I would watch way less movies because I would just
watch the fire or like have a book, read the book by the fire, you know?
So Bruce is pretty sympathetic to the Penguin story because he talks about how he just wants to find his parents.
Yeah, he's Team Penguin right now.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are too.
Mm-hmm. So he requests to be allowed into the Hall of Records in order to discover who his parents were.
Yeah.
And Max Schreck is going to talk to the press to convince them that it's okay because apparently it's illegal for citizens to... be in the Hall of Records.
Yeah.
I love this line Max Schreck says to one of the critical press members. Give the Constitution a rest. It's Christmas. Just the worst argument.
The worst,
For no separation.
Schreck is so... He's actually really stupid and shallow.
Yeah.
Like, he's like kind of like business smart, but that's about it.
He's a comic book.
Yeah.
Villain.
Very. Penguin, we can see he's making a list and checking it twice.
Yeah, it's more than just his two parents. He's actually going to be copying down the names of all the firstborn sons of Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know about that
yet. We don't know about that yet. Bruce Wayne is doing his own research.
Yes.
Looking into who the Penguin might be. He's looking into the circus. He's finding out information.
Connects them,
and he's just like, maybe this Penguin guy isn't who he says he is.
Apparently, the Red Triangle Gang, the circus clowns, they were a troupe that was shut down because children kept going missing during their shows.
Yeah.
And Bruce suspects that the final child that was taken was perhaps the Penguin.
Yeah. And so, driving around... in the Batmobile as Batman, he sees Penguin through the window, like writing down whatever he's doing. Yeah. And he's talking to Alfred, and then he says to Alfred, I think he knows who his parents are.
Yeah.
So he's no longer Team Penguin.
Nope. Then we check back in with Catwoman, who was doing many, many flips, literally, just like gymnastics, to a... save the day for the first time.
Wait, there's something that happens before that.
Okay.
Before that. Penguin makes a public visit to his parents' gravesite.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Because he finds his parents.
Yeah, he finds his parents. He has to put on... Yeah, he's a Cobblepot.
He's Oswald Cobblepot.
And he has to put on the show that even if he does know who his parents is, he has to like show the people that he doesn't know and he's just discovering. So yeah, he's putting on a show and he's remorseful. He's really playing the press. And then we cut to Catwoman in action. We actually get to see her.
Yeah,
so
we getting attacked.
Yeah, we see the birth of Oswald Cobblepot and now the birth of Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does flip. She's wearing like stilettos, but she still does these gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got that taser that she uses to rescue a woman being attacked.
Yeah. And Catwoman is she's a complex character in the comic book and in this as well. She is not a villain or a good guy. So while she does save the woman from the bad guys, she also chastises her kind of for being a victim.
Yeah.
Before making her get away.
So it's the next day, and Max Schreck has his meeting with Bruce Wayne, who I don't know if you know, but he's Batman.
Yes.
Bruce doesn't like the plan for Schreck to develop that power plant, because he knows that Gotham actually has a surplus of power, so why would you need a power plant? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Bruce is smart.
He says, and the mayor agrees with me, and Schreck says, well, there could be a new mayor.
Yeah.
And also, Bruce is going to meet Selina. Yeah. Comes back into work after being pushed out the window.
Right. Schreck is very surprised because he just said that his assistant was away on a ski trip.
Mm-hmm.
Right. His favorite excuse. But yeah, she comes in and she is like battered, but she's so cool,
mm-hmm.
like much cooler. And she kind of commands the room in a way that she never has before.
Really grabs Bruce's attention.
Yeah, and he is mesmerized, and he almost slips up.
Because
mm-hmm. he goes, we met before, and she's like, really, did we? He's like, oh, never mind, have you...
Because he was Batman.
Yeah, because he was mm-hmm. Batman when he met her. So I like how they keep that meeting intact.
I just want to mention, this whole time in the scene, I know I said Schreck at one point was giving me a strong Scrooge vibes with his costume. But in this scene, he looks like Beetlejuice.
Kind of, yeah.
He's got that striped suit, the vertical stripes.
Mm-hmm.
So now Schreck is going to go back down into the sewers to meet with his new friend, mm-hmm. Penguin, or Oswald, as he likes to be called at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a gift, and it's a fish.
It's a fish.
And he uses the fish to like lure Oswald back up to the surface.
Yeah.
And he starts eating the fish and it's disgusting.
It actually looks pretty good. I always thought like, like the way he's eating that fish, it looked kind of good.
Like the fish is good, but like him eating the fish is disgusting.
Yeah, he is like just tearing it apart. Yeah. His mouth is full to the point where no more fish can get in there. He's still eating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when he gets downstairs...
Upstairs,
there is just a room full of people that are just like, surprise! And his mouth is just full of fish.
Oh my goodness, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And everyone is so cheery and nice and like acting like they're not looking at this monster.
Yeah, so Schreck has these new plans for Oswald. He's going to run for mayor.
Yeah, that's going to be his
help candidate. Help him attain his business goals.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole time, Penguin is now meeting like PR people to help with his new mayoral campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is a woman. And he's just, the whole time she's talking, he's just. He's a very horny man.
This is a very horny comic book movie.
Yeah, but also like the least sexualized that Batman is in a Batman movie.
Yes.
I feel like. Like, yes. Even in the Nolan ones, Batman is more sexualized.
Yes. Yeah, there's no shirtless Bruce Wayne in this.
It's all cat and could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very horny for both sex and attention, really. When meeting the image consultants, they're trying to be as nice and fake as possible. But
they want him to cover his flippers.
They want him to cover his flippers because voters like fingers. And
that's the line. Research shows that voters like fingers.
Yes. And then the guy that's on the team goes, not many reflective surfaces down in the sewer. And so they all get a chuckle out of that.
Yeah, everyone then, starts laughing.
Yeah, and then he goes, ha, ha, ha. And then the penguin makes, I can't freeze it, like, right?
Could be worse.
Could be worse. My nose could be gushing. And then they're like...
Gushing blood.
And they're like, what? And then he just bites his nose.
Yep.
And there's blood gushing blood. Yeah. And then after that, Schreck is just like, let's make a candidate. Like, he's just like so just like oblivious, or not even oblivious, like he knows exactly mm-hmm. what he's doing.
Yeah. And Penguin's just saying to himself, here's your table, Mr. Mayor, and yeah. nice to see you, Mr. Mayor. Like, he's just
he's getting into it, and he's just like, yeah, you're gonna have power, you're gonna have access, and you're gonna have poontang. Unlimited poontang. He's like, yeah, I like that. And so now he's in. So now he's going to be mayor.
So they're going to use his connections with the circus gang to have them wreak havoc on the city, blame all the chaos on the current mayor.
Yeah.
Let's elect Penguin. I love the line, Penguin's like, aren't elections in November? It's December. And yeah. Shrek's like, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they'll have Gotham trying to get the mayor out of office because of all the circus chaos.
Yeah.
So now Batman's got to fight.
Yeah.
These circus guys. And I wrote down some of the fight moves.
Go ahead.
It's very...
slapstick.
Slapstick. Yeah, the classic knocking two heads into each other.
The classic, like... ducking under a big swing.
Make the one guy attack his friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're a circus, there's this one time he like pulls the sword out of the guy's mouth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And this whole time the circus gang's going crazy on Gotham, Catwoman has her own chaos.
Yeah, nice little quiet scene.
She's visiting the Shrek's department store after hours.
Yeah.
She's fucking it up with her whip.
Yeah, whipping things. I love this cute little moment where she like plays jump rope
with her whip. She uses it as a jump rope.
She's mm-hmm. so like the mannerisms, the playfulness of Catwoman.
So much personality.
So much fun. And so she is like stopped by security who mm-hmm. are just like don't know what to do because they are just like, wow, she's hot. And so she's like, that's what's wrong with you, man. Always mistaking your pistol for your dick, pretty much. She says it better than that. Mm. And then she whips them out of the store. And she's going to, she makes like a homemade bomb or whatever.
Yeah. And then back to Batman, he knocks this one guy down and you get the Wilhelm scream. You're like, ah!
Yeah.
That classic scream that's in a lot of movies. And then you get the one guy that's like too big to knock down.
Mm-hmm.
But so Batman tries punching him, but he's not getting anywhere. But mm-hmm. then the guy looks down and he sees the bomb was stuck on him.
Yeah.
So then Batman's able to like knock him down a pit and it blows up. And that's where I commented in my notes. He definitely murdered that guy.
He definitely killed that guy.
Yeah. Definitely. Now Batman's going to meet Catwoman.
Yeah, this is fun. Actually, yeah, because
first he sees Penguin.
Yeah, there's like this meeting there where like now they're face to face, and now it's like hero and bad guy,
mm-hmm.
you know. And Oswald is like, I'm gonna be mayor.
Yeah.
And Batman's like, I don't think so.
Yeah, there's already a mayor. Things change.
Yeah. And so they're having this serious meeting, and
Catwoman flips in.
She flips in.
This is my favorite Catwoman part. I think
it's brilliant.
Actually, maybe her other scene with Penguin,
mm-hmm.
but she flips into this conversation between Batman and Penguin, and
they don't know what to
literally think. Flips like several flips, and then they don't know what's going on, and she just says meow,
and then boom,
and then explosion, and they're distracted, and she like scatters away.
I really
finds a building.
Love the way that this shot is composed because you get the boom, and so he looks away. And then he looks back and Catwoman is already climbing up the pole. And then he turns back to Penguin. And Penguin's like, I saw her first. And I just love like the use of his umbrellas in this. And so
didn't talk about his umbrellas.
His umbrellas because
his weapon. He's got umbrellas.
Like many, like a knife one, a gun one, the one with like the kid one with like the hanging stuff, kind of like over
the
a crib.
Mobile. Yeah.
Yeah. Just
the one in his first meeting with Shrek, it's like he's spinning it and it's like a hypnotizer thing.
Yeah.
And Shrek's like, are you going to hypnotize me? He says, no, but I'll give you a splitting headache.
Yeah.
And then it shoots blanks.
It shoots
just
blanks.
To scare him.
Yeah. He flies off on his umbrella and then it goes up with him. And then we meet Catwoman mm-hmm. again. It's such a great shot. And then we get Catwoman versus Batman scene.
You wouldn't hit her. How could you? I'm a woman.
Oh, it's funny every time because she's so
just
convincing.
The delivery.
The delivery is just like, yeah, Batman, how dare you hit a woman? But she like flips it and almost knocks him off the building.
It's Joker's you wouldn't hit a guy with glasses times 10.
Mm-hmm.
And, so she's able to hit him, but then he gets her back and ends up knocking her down.
Yeah.
but she's saved by a kitty litter.
Kitty litter.
It's like a truck of yeah. sand.
Mind you, every time Selina and Bruce and Catwoman and Batman aren't seen together, there is heavy, heavy flirting. Mm-hmm. Even when they're fighting, they're flirting.
Yep.
And like, Catwoman's like, he's just so mesmerized by her that she's able to like fill on him and find a weak spot and like just stick him. And then that's when she's tossed into the kitty litter. She's saved by kitty litter, which is so funny.
So now she's going to get her revenge on Batman by teaming up with Penguin. So this is that scene in Penguin's new apartment, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a giant bed in the middle of the apartment, and they're both going to be sitting on that bed, and just the blocking of that scene.
Yeah. I love that.
There's definite sexual tension here, too.
Yeah.
Here, too.
Yeah, when he walks up into his room and she's already, like, laid out on his bed. Yes.
In leather.
Yes. And he's just like, ooh, like, he just wants to touch her. And then she puts her boot on his neck and he starts sniffing it. Yeah.
Someone starts. But all her sexual energy is still just residual from her encounter with Batman earlier.
Yeah.
Her whole thing is, like, she's gonna get off on getting back at Batman.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the Penguin, but the Penguin doesn't read that. He's just like, ooh, sexy lady, I want her.
But Batman already had his own plan to take care. Or Penguin had his own plan to take care of Batman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To disassemble the Batmobile and turn it into a bomb on wheels.
Yeah. But Catwoman says that will turn him into a martyr and he'll have even more power in death.
Which is true because that happens in one of the Nolan ones.
Yeah. And so she has a better plan to frame him and turn her into what he hates most, one of us. And so
birdcage shot.
Yeah, so Penguin needs some more convincing because he's just like, how do I know you're just not a little girl that didn't get that pony when she was 10 years old? And so Catwoman, she like is the shot's so good when you see like you the camera's inside the birdcage
and it's swinging a little bit.
It's swinging and it's turning. And she has this moment where she just kind of smiles. And then she, like, whistles and then goes into for the bird. She goes in for the bird. And she actually did this. She actually put a live bird in her mouth. Wow. Yeah, she put the live bird in her mouth. And so the Penguin goes for the pussycat that she brought with her and threatens to, like, stab it. Mm-hmm. And so she, like, opens her mouth and the bird flies out.
Yeah. Just a bird and a cat.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle in their,
the cleaning herself.
Oh, true.
The cleaning herself is so good. She
starts licking herself at the end of that scene.
They really just, like, played up everything cat-like about her. Yeah.
And then in the next scene, Bruce and Selina are going to be on a date.
Yeah. I like how it opens with her kind of just looking at her reflection, like, why are you doing this? Like, she's, like, questioning herself.
Yeah.
She's not complete. She runs into Bruce, and they start to flirt again and just talk about the chaos.
They bond over how their superhero alter egos are portrayed negatively in the press.
Yeah. And so he invites her over to watch the ceremony that's going to happen tonight. Mm-hmm. But she can't. So he moves it up early. He said, no, come around 5. It's going to be great. So they have a date now.
Oswald's using his new fame to get behind locked doors, closed doors.
Yeah.
Or backstage. Kind of Trumpy. Like Trump and Miss America going backstage to meet them. Because he...
It's the ice meets princess.
Gotham's ice princess.
Yeah.
But he ends up abducting her.
Using this bat boomerang.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's going to frame Batman.
Mm-hmm.
They make it look like Batman pushes her off a building.
Mm-hmm.
And when she falls, it's like on this box right outside the Christmas tree that they're doing the lighting for. Mm-hmm. There's this big audience. And she falls and hits the box and that switches the tree on. And then a bunch of bats fly out of the tree.
Yeah.
So that's another Burton-y Christmas shot to have, like, bats coming out of a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm. a little bit before that, just a little bit, Selina and Bruce are warming up to one another by that big giant fireplace.
Oh, talking, true.
Yeah, talking about duality and how complicated they are and how she is into it. She's not into normal guys because at least the crazy ones are committed. And she jumps him, jumps his bones, and they start kissing. And what I like about this scene so much is they're both bruised, and they both bruised each other.
Yeah.
And so when she touches his rib,
hide it.
Yeah, he's like, ugh, but he can't let her know. And then when he's like touching her arm, you can see where that like bomb went off on her, yeah, or whatever it was. And so they had to hide from each other.
I love when she goes in for the kiss. It's very cat-like.
It's
she
very
pounces
cat-like
on him.
Yeah, she does.
Cats are very decisive with their movements.
And but they're broken up by the news that the Ice Princess has been kidnapped. Mm-hmm. So they kind of both make up excuses,
yeah,
through Alfred to leave each other.
Right.
Selina actually reveals a little bit a lot about herself, and that she's going through changes, and that he makes her feel like the person she wants to be or hopes she is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now. They're both getting ready. I like this. They're both getting dressed. He's in the Batcave and she's like frantic in her car. And that's how her costume looks, you know? So, great. There's some great choreography between Batman, like the best fighting is between Catwoman and Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where she like takes the chair and has the whip and it's very like lion and like circus like leader or whatever. And it's just really cool. And then we get to the part where she leads the Ice Princess upstairs, but it's the Penguin that releases the bats that sends her tumbling to her death.
Yeah. And then bats and cats are fighting, and they end up with him on the ground, and she's on top of him.
Yeah. And we get a kiss, but not like a traditional
mistletoe
kiss.
No, she licks his face.
Yeah, she licks his face. And then he licks his lips.
It's the way a cat might kiss a person.
Yeah, and they have this mistletoe moment, which is important.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it comes up later.
And then Oswald's going to try to take his chance, his shot with Catwoman.
He's like, let's consummate this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I wouldn't touch you to scratch you.
Yep. And he's pretty upset to be rejected. So he takes out one of his umbrellas. This one's like the propeller one to give to Catwoman so she can fly away.
Yeah.
And it drops her to try to kill her. But
into like a greenhouse?
She falls into a greenhouse and ends up surviving because cats have 9 lives.
Yeah. So now she's down to like 6, and I just love the way she looks with her hair like kind of half out, and she like screams and the glass shatters, and it's just like she is breaking at this point.
Yeah, so now
because she wasn't happy that the Ice Princess died.
Right.
Yeah.
Now the other part of the Penguin's plan is going to happen with the Batmobile going crazy. It's rampaging through Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
But Batman's able to get control of it by like getting parts off of it, making it as small as it can be.
Yeah,
he's being chased by police because they think he murdered the Ice Princess.
Yeah,
he's able to squeeze through a narrow alleyway, and then you get like 4 cop cars like slamming
like
into the brick wall, piling into each other. It's very satisfying. And also during this chase. Because the police were chasing Batman, but Batman's chasing Penguin. Batman ends up hearing Penguin talking about the people of Gotham and what he really feels about them.
Yeah.
And Batman records it.
Yeah. And uses it the next day.
The next day during Penguin's speech.
He
has like a CD of it that he puts in the CD player from his Batcave that's already hooked up to like the speakers in Gotham, I guess.
Yeah.
And he does like the DJ record scratch of a compact disc.
Yeah. Erker, erker.
Yeah.
He's just having fun.
It's
He's
silly.
And the crowd turns on the Penguin.
Oh, they're booing him.
Yes. And throwing eggs and tomatoes and lettuce at him.
He's
got
to go back to the sewer.
He has to go back to the sewer. Yeah, he escapes.
And this is where he decides, I'm not Oswald. I'm not human. I'm the Penguin. And I'm going to kidnap and kill the firstborn sons of Gotham.
Yes.
Just like my parents tried to do to me.
Mm-hmm. This is going to happen while all the adults away at this party. Mm-hmm. Bruce doesn't want to go there, but then he does go there because he wants to see Selena.
I just want to say, when he reveals his plan down in the sewers to his clown friends, mm-hmm. there's the one clown who questions the plan. It's a bit much, right? But then Penguin shuts him up by shooting him with an umbrella gun.
He says, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, so now there's the charity ball at Shrek's that mm-hmm. Bruce ends up attending. Mm-hmm. And anytime there's going to be a gala in Gotham, it's going to be interrupted by a
supervillain. Yes.
That's the rule. But we get some time. We get to spend a little bit of time before Penguin drops in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cool Christmas masquerade party,
mm-hmm.
which this won't be the last time this month we talk about Christmas masquerades.
Which is cool because everyone else is in a mask except for Bruce and Selena.
Right. Because they're just Bruce and Selena.
And they talk about how they're tired of wearing masks.
And this is actually the scene where they discover each other's identities.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, because they talk about the mistletoe again, and it's the exact mm-hmm. same dialogue.
It's the reverse.
Yeah, except, yeah, they're saying each other lines, and then they're like, oh. And then Selena's mm-hmm. just like, oh, no, does that mean we have to start fighting now?
So in comes Penguin.
Just boom.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he reveals his plan to everyone.
Yeah.
And he's going to start with Chip Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
But Max Shrek volunteers as tribute.
Yeah. That's the only person he ever cared about. Everything he's doing for his son. So he will mm-hmm. not let his son die. He takes his place.
Yeah. So Max Shrek is taken back down into the sewers.
Mm-hmm.
Put in a cage.
Put in a cage, yeah.
Suspending from the roof or the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. The babies are being hauled off in like a car train.
Yeah.
Until they're stopped by Batman.
And Penguin's got his army of penguins.
Yeah, this is plan B.
Yeah.
Because a monkey comes back with a note.
Yeah, the monkey delivers the letter to the penguin from Batman.
Yeah.
So campy. So. We regret to inform you that we're not attending. Your plan's foiled.
Yes.
So he's got to put plan B into action, which is strap all these penguins with bombs.
Yeah. Who's going to sacrifice his family.
We're just going to kill all of Gotham.
Yeah.
Not just the firstborn.
The first, second, third, and fourth.
And not just sons. We're going to not discriminate by by gender.
Yeah.
I like how, I've discussed how the Catwoman stuff is the feminist themes to it. But I like when the male characters have little moments in this movie where they contend with feminist ideas. And for Penguin, that's choosing not to discriminate between sons and daughters in terms of who to kill.
Yeah.
And then comes up with Batman at the very end.
Mm-hmm. So Batman's flying through the sewer, trying to get there. Him and Alfred actually mm-hmm. gets in on the action.
Yeah, jamming
the signal because the penguins are marching into town. They get to their spot and they jam it just in time and send the penguins back to where they came.
I love Batman is like tracking the penguin with like a radar.
Mm-hmm.
But every time like the Doppler comes, like goes around to where the penguin is, it makes like a quacking noise. And it's like the shape of a duck because we didn't mention the penguin rides around on a duck.
Yes.
It's like one of those duck. Like, it's supposed to be like on lakes,
like a swan,
right?
like the
one
swan,
of those boats,
yeah.
Like the swans of Central Park boats, mm-hmm. those, but it's a duck in the sewers.
Mm-hmm.
So it quacks every time the Doppler goes on Batman's radar, which means he like customized that just to track the penguin.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's wild. And so Batman finally gets down into the sewer to Penguin's secret lair.
Yeah, and Penguin is gonna
escape. It's not a secret lair. Everyone knows Penguin is in the sewers.
Penguin's gonna escape. His water duck turns into a land duck.
Mm-hmm.
But it
has wheels that drives up the stairs.
Yeah. And Batman is tracking him, so he's able to, like, cut him off. And so they have this moment outside where they start to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Max is trying to get the monkey to give him the keys.
Yeah.
He actually does
mm-hmm.
get out to escape. And Batman and Penguin are like, what are they doing? Just fighting, right? Like, it's not really fighting. Penguin's just swinging at Batman. And Batman's like, hey, I have the detonator. And Penguin is able to get the detonator from Batman. But you think he wants the detonator because he doesn't want the Penguins to get hurt now that the Penguins aren't in their spot. Mm. But instead, he just detonates the bombs attached to the Penguins.
Well, they shoot off.
Yeah, they shoot off. And it pretty much just destroys the zoo.
Yeah.
Max is being dragged through the water by Catwoman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who's about to kill him.
Yeah.
And Batman comes in on a zip line.
Yeah.
Right in time.
Very bat style, very open wing, yeah.
And he's trying to stop Selina from murdering Shrek because all of a sudden now he cares.
Yeah. Penguin fell through the ceiling. That's why we stopped talking about him.
Oh, he fell in the water. Fell into the toxic.
Yeah, fell into the toxic water. Yeah. And yeah, he's trying to sell Catwoman this fairy tale of like, hey, let's just send Max to jail and we can go away and be happy.
He takes off his mask.
Takes off his mask. He reveals himself. This is where I was just like, Shrek is really stupid because he's like, why is Bruce Wayne in a Batman costume?
Oh, yeah, true.
And Selina's just like, because he is Batman, dumbass.
But he's got the gun.
Yeah.
So he shoots Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And then he shoots Selina.
Like three times?
A couple times, because Selina makes a speech about how she was killed by him already. She was killed by Batman. She was killed by Penguin, but she's still alive.
Yeah, she's still alive.
So you're going to have to shoot me more times than that. I still have two lives left.
Right. So he shoots her down to two lives. Mm-hmm. And she is just like, oh, great. I have two. I'm going to save one for next Christmas. And she takes herself and him out, actually, with an electric kiss.
She's got the stun gun, the taser. And she electrocutes him.
Mm-hmm.
Big explosion. They're both exploded.
Exploded. Yeah.
Bruce was, you know, wearing his Batman suit. So the bullet didn't really kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you see the Shrek's body.
Yeah.
Dead body.
Yeah, he's like a burnt body. Like in the first one. Like that burnt body in the first one.
But he can't find Selina.
No, she's gone. Penguin gets to have one last moment where he crawls out of the water.
Yeah, his one last ascent.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to shoot Bruce.
But it's the wrong umbrella.
Yeah, and he ends up dying. And then he has like a little... The Penguins hold like a funeral ceremony for him.
Yeah.
Where they put his body off into the water.
Yeah. His death is nice.
After the movie being a series of ascents, in the death he is taken down into the water. It's a descent. He's submerged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those poor penguins mourning the loss of one of their own.
All right. So that was the climax. That's it.
Now we get a little epilogue. Alfred's driving Bruce around. I like the last lines is, Alfred says, Merry Christmas, Mr. Wayne. And Bruce says, Merry Christmas, Alfred. Goodwill towards all men. And women.
And women.
That's like his interactions with Selina taught him inexplicably that, women, you know, women are people too.
Doesn't matter to me. Yeah. So yeah, driving around, he thinks he sees... Well, he actually does see Catwoman's shadows.
The shadow, yeah.
So he gets out and like, stop the car, and he has to go out into the alleyway to check it, but there's nothing there.
Just a cat.
But a black cat. So he takes the cat.
It was Selina's cat.
Yeah, Selina's cat. And he takes the cat with him back to the car, and he drives off.
We get those lines, and then the bat signal comes back.
Mm-hmm. The back signal rises, and then you get the last shot with Catwoman rising.
The real hero of the movie, the main character.
This is when I lose it in the theater if I was an adult. Yeah, I'd be like, yeah! Woo, Catwoman! Woo! And that's Batman Returns!
Yep.
That's it. Is Batman Returns a movie or a film, Nate?
Is a movie.
It's a movie.
It's a blockbuster movie, fun, wild ride, Batman.
I don't know. I want to say movie. I also want to say film. Just because of the, you know, I love style and the dedication put into it. And then when I was thinking about it, and I was really thinking about it, I thought back to when we had Jenna on the episode, and she was just talking about how sometimes, like a performance, like the art, the craft that's put into it, that is so transformative, can really like change something, can really like take it from being just something to being something. I don't know what I'm trying to say exactly, but I'm gonna say film.
Okay, I feel like you started doing this thing where stuff you like are films and stuff you don't like that much are movies.
Do I? Because I don't want to do that. I don't
think it's like a quality thing, at least for me.
No, it's not a quality. Well,
because this is a very high quality piece of work. Sorry to push back
on that. Oh, no, I don't
I think it was when
that.
You originally called Lady Bird a film, and then I said it was a movie, and then you jumped on movie.
Yeah.
But you switched back. It's like, oh, I have permission to make this a movie.
Well, the thing, I don't know, I was kind of fraudulent with Lady Bird, to be honest with you.
No, me too. I think that's a movie, and I was trying to be, like, controversial by calling it a film.
Okay.
Or by calling it a movie, I mean, I think it's a film.
Okay. I honestly thought Lady Bird was a film.
Yeah, we both lied on that
episode. We both lied. We did.
Like Lady Bird.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then once you said...
Lady Bird and a Batman.
And then once you said film, I was just like... No, once you said movie, I was like, oh, shit, I should have just said... I should have just said movie. I should have just been honest. But yeah. That's it. That's Batman Returns. Yeah. And that's what we think of it.
Mm-hmm. And we got 3 more Christmas movies coming up this month.
Yes.
To end the wild year we've had.
Whew!
Follow us at Movie Film Pod. Tweet us. That's our Instagram handle, Facebook as well.
Yes.
Interact. Let's get some engagement going.
Yeah.
Rate, review, subscribe on your podcasting platform of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Check out those YouTube videos if you want to watch some of the episodes we recorded.
Yeah, come on. Look at our faces while we talk.
Check back next week for more movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.
Cool, cool, cool.